Welcome to the Emotional Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Rochelle. This podcast started as a space to really just share my journey, to share the experiences and the things that I was going through as I learned to self-regulate, as I learned to manage my emotions. And it has transformed into so much more. I am a 6'3 emotional manifesting generator in human design. And so this space is really just everything that I trial and error, it's everything, amazing guests coming to you, talking about their journey, their experiences with emotions, and really just take what resonates and leave what doesn't. We're all unique individuals. And so we all have different perspectives. We all have different viewpoints. And it's really coming to that space where you can trust yourself. And that's where that is my mission. That is my goal. That is my purpose, to empower you to trust yourself, to find that space, to ground in it, to come back to yourself over and over and over again, because there's so much freedom and there is so much power and there is so much beauty in that. This journey can feel really isolating at times. It is beautiful. It is painful. It is joyful. It is love. It is all of the things. And we are all of the things all at once. And so just have grace with yourself, have compassion with yourself through this. And I am so grateful that you are listening to this episode wherever you are listening. Thank you for allowing me into your day. Welcome back to another episode of the Emotional Mastery Podcast. This week, I'm talking to Juliette Caramon. She is a UK-based mind and body coach and teacher on relationships, sex, intimacy, healing, and trauma. She specializes in the reinvention of the most intimate relationship in life, the one we have with ourselves. Juliette helps highly impactful women who, despite being successful in their business, feel trapped in their perfect lives, rediscover who they are outside of being an entrepreneur, a wife, and a mother, and experience all the pleasures and possibilities of life again. She works also with many couples who are working on improving their relationships and sex life. For example, Juliette has an interesting story about a couple who were nearly about to file divorce, and 3 months after they worked with her, they were completely full of love and happier than ever. And this conversation was so good. We talk all about intimacy and sexuality and healing our trauma through sexual experiences, but we talk about so much more than that, right? It's really about healing your relationship with yourself and being able to sit in your body and sit in that discomfort and move through the emotions that are in your body. And rather than numbing, which is very easy to do, and all of us tend to do it in some way or another, right? But instead of doing that, to actually allow ourselves to hold that space of that emotion that is moving through you. And it was just a really, really beautiful conversation, and one I absolutely loved having. I'm literally love having the conversations, especially around sexuality. And, you know, I think it's a very charged topic and one that we often sort of avoid in our culture. And so I just think it's really powerful conversations to have and to hold and to share, because when we feel shame around something, we make the thing bigger, right? What we resist persists. And so when we're feeling some sort of sensation, or we're turned on by something that maybe somebody at one point told us was wrong, and then all of a sudden we're shut down and it just becomes this bigger thing. So I think it's really important to sort of lessen the shame and the judgment that we hold around sex and sexuality and sexual preferences and kinks and all of these things. So we really dive into that in this conversation. This week has been so good, so good. I know, like, sometimes I come on here and I'm like, wow, it's only been a week since, like, I literally sometimes feel like my life has shifted in so many different ways. And I went to Austin last week for my birthday, and it was so much fun. I think I had this expectation that I was going to, like, work so much more on, you know, Holistic Human Design Academy. Not that I didn't get work done. I actually really liked being able to be, like, really present last week. That was actually perfect, because we had our, like, group chat going, and I was really able to engage and have those conversations, and we had a live call, and it was just literally, literally magic. I'm so lit up by this group, these women. It is just like lighting my soul up, and I love it so much. And it's interesting, at the end of this conversation, we started talking about, Juliette is an MG as well, an emotional manifesting generator. And it's so hard sometimes, because we have so many passions and interests, and there's so many things that, like, light us up. And I think, like, as an entrepreneur, it's so hard sometimes to, like, niche down into, like, one specific, like, funnel, right? Like, this is what I do. But actually, the beautiful thing is, you know, in Juliet, her niche is just loving yourself, right? And within that, then you can go through all these different places of health and the body and sexuality. And it's so beautiful. And I feel like for me, finally, like I resisted it for so long, but finally I found my niche, right? And Holistic Human Design Academy is the product of that, right? And, you know, it is holistic human design. So we do talk about the body. We do talk about the subconscious. We do talk about attachment theory, human design, astrology, the gene keys. Like we go through all of this to create a holistic, right? And in human design, you know, one of the biggest messages of human design, if not the core message, is self-love, right? Because it's like once you are flowing with yourself and once you're aligned with your type, strategy, and authority, like you're naturally going to love yourself. And there's so many different pieces to that. And the body is a huge piece to that. I mean, I have a Mars in Capricorn in the sixth house. So I'm always going to be like on fire and passionate about all things health and routines and the body and all these things. And so this is just like a natural, you know, my journey really started in holistic health, in the body, in fitness, and all, and that is my roots, right? And human design and astrology are like my loves. And so being able to combine these in something has been literally, I can't explain. I've just been like walking on clouds. It has been like so magical. So yeah, we're in week two now. We're weaving in astrology into the story of our human design. And next week we're diving into the body. If you are interested in next round, which will begin at the end of August, there's a link down in the show notes so you can get on the wait list and you'll know when it's released. I'm really, really, as I'm moving through this one, you know, being able to feel into how I'm going to structure it next one. And I'm just so excited. I'm so excited. And I can't wait to like continue to share. There was, you know, we had our first live call on Thursday, and there's a question that somebody asked me in that call that I just keep thinking about, and I'm really like formulating the words for it. But we were talking about the shadow hierarchy in human design, and so there are, you know, human design, your shadows go through like there are layers of it, right? And the number one shadow, if you do not have a single definition, which just means that with a single definition, your energy flows through your centers. All of your centers flow together energetically through channels. So let's just say the sacral is connected to the emotions, connected to the throat, and it all flows smoothly. Well, if you have any, like if you have your emotions in your sacral and then your throat to your ajna and there's a gap, that's called a bridge gate. And so these bridge gates are the biggest shadows that you could have if you have a bridge gate. If not, then it goes down the list, right? And one of these bridge gates for one of the students in the academy, she said basically what she's doing with her business and everything is actually the bridge gate. So she was like, am I living out my shadow? Like, is this my shadow trying to like have a play in my life? And of course my answer was, you know, does it feel like it? And also I've noticed in my own journey, so much of my shadows I've used as a gift and I've turned into something beautiful. So sort of the same situation, my bridge gate, I have a wide split. And so this is channel 59.6. This is the channel of intimacy. It's about conflict and it's about intimacy. And so when you have a wide split like that, when it's not just like one single gate, you tend to be a little bit victim-y, right? You can blame others for, well, you don't give me the intimacy that I want. And you're creating conflict, right? To have this intimacy. And you know, then I look at like everything I've done and it's about relationships and it's about emotions and your connection with yourself and learning how to, you know, approach conflicts and not avoid conflicts and all these things. So it's like, I've taken those shadows and I've flipped it, right? And I've used it to propel me forward and to heal myself. And it's really, really is so beautiful. There's so many different places I can go through that. But yeah, it's just like such a beautiful process. And I think sometimes, you know, when you see it on paper and you're like, oh, well, you know, like my entire business is based on this bridge gate. And that's a huge shadow for me. Yeah, maybe. But and also you're using the shadow and you're healing it in such a beautiful way. And it's so powerful when we have realizations like that. I had a soul retrieval last week when I was in Austin. And I can't even like, literally like the last week, I feel like my spirituality, my connection with myself, my connection with like my psychic skills, like it's all deepened so much. Like I quantum leaped in that area. It's wild. It's just like, It's so much. And so I had this like soul retrieval session, literally had no idea what to expect, but I wanted to like give myself something for my birthday that was going to like deepen my connection with myself. And it was so powerful. There were things that were said in that session that I'm just like, I'm literally still thinking about. But one thing that came up was, so I've really been thinking about this and I've shared on Instagram if you follow me on there as well. But the example that was given was that if you imagine like a bucket full of water, right? And the water within that bucket is like our life force energy, right? And imagine that bucket having like 100,000 like pins in it. And then imagine like if you have, like if you're leaking out energy from different places, then you have X amount of pins pulled out, right? And so you're constantly leaking water and you're constantly having to refill that bucket of water. Your life force has to constantly be refilled. And it really got me thinking how much I don't protect my energy when I'm leaving the house. And when the practitioner, facilitator who was reading my energy, he said that my energy is like 3 times larger. It's like 10 feet. And so I was literally at work and I was like, I wonder how much 10 feet is. So I had like somebody help me like decide how much 10 feet was. And then I like stood there and I was like, wow. And imagine that all the way around me, like how much I'm taking in from other people and how much I'm like leaking out of myself. And so I've started this practice with just like some spray, some oil infused water in the morning, just to protect my energy before I leave the house. And I've noticed it's made a huge impact. Like I'll be at work and other people will be like, I'll just see like the chaos around me. And I'm like, you know, I'm good. Like, this is weird. Like it's like, I still feel the things, but I'm able to cycle through it so much faster. I also had like, I feel like a softness. Something's really like softened within myself, this like compassion, but this higher perspective, just sort of seeing life from this different perspective. And I noticed today, so I got into a little bit of a fender bender. Somebody hit me from the back. Everybody's okay. My car wasn't damaged at all, but they were kind of like freaking out a little bit. And I was just like so neutral. And I watched a while ago this YouTube video, and I've talked about it on here as well. It's called Your Wish is Your Command. I'll link it in the show notes in case anybody's interested. It's like 14 hours and it's super long. I like binged it in a weekend. I was like, I have to finish this. But there was one part in there where he was talking about like if your tire blows or something like that, and it's so, it would be so easy to just get like so frustrated, like, oh my gosh, now I got to get a new tire and I have to call these people and I have to stay in here on the side of the road and like all these things and just get like frustrated and mad and like whatever. Or what if we almost get like excited and be like, wow, I wonder what this helped me avoid. I wonder what new path this is putting me on. I wonder who I'm going to meet, right? Like, have you ever had those situations where you just meet like the right person at the right time and it's so synchronistic and you're like, whoa, this is wild, right? And it's like, if you hadn't have done this thing, you would never have met them. And that's what I kept thinking. I was like, although this other person was sort of like frustrated and I was like seeing that, I wasn't necessarily feeling it, but I was just like, and I noticed, so my moon is in the 12th house, and which can be sort of like detached. It's sort of like things that are hidden from you. And I'm like highly, highly, highly emotional. It's square by Pluto. So I'm like highly emotional, but like there are like these little times where I feel almost like detached from my emotions or unsympathetic. Is that a word? Not sympathetic. But sort of like in that moment, it just felt like very neutral. I was like witnessing it and I was like, wow, like you're so like, they weren't like so upset, but I could sense that they were pretty upset. And it was sort of like one of those situations where, I mean, yeah, like nobody wants their car to be crashed and needing to get repaired. And also like, I don't know what her life is like and you know, anything like that. But I was sort of, I don't know. It's like, there's nothing that you can do other than just exchange information and get the insurance to cover it. It was just really interesting. And I've noticed myself having more experiences, not like that specifically, but just like being able to take this like higher perspective of things and be like, wow, it is what it is. You know, I mean, I've always sort of like had that mentality of like, it is what it is. Like, there's really no point in like getting upset about something that's already happened. Like I can't like change it, right? I can only choose what I'm doing now. I've always sort of been frustrated at people who are just like, and of course I've held on to things. So I'm not like saying that I never get mad about things that happened in the past because yeah, like it happens, right? But like to sort of like harp on and just like over and over and over reiterate something that's already happened. It's like, okay, I get it. You know, I get it. I get that it was painful for you and I get that you're frustrated, but also like, I can't change what happened in the past, right? I can only change right now and how we move forward. But yeah, it's been a beautiful week. It's been a beautiful week. And I'm still like integrating everything. And I spent some time with a friend who is also deeply in her astrology journey. And I just feel like I learned so much about astrology over the past week. Like it was like imagine like 3 days of just like doing and talking about the thing that you're so passionate about. Like it was like I was living it like every minute of every day. Like that's what the conversations were around, was like astrology and business and, you know, this, that, and the other thing, the podcast and then the Holistic Human Design Academy. And it was like, it sort of showed me exactly what I want and where I'm going to be and how I'm going to structure my day. And then I sort of, then when I had to go back to work, I had a moment where I was like, okay, I could get really frustrated about this. Cause I sort of had that like heavy feeling where I was like, oh, like I don't want to go. And I was like, okay, this is contrast, right? This is showing me what I don't want. So I can lean more into what I do want. And it is a journey. It is a slow journey. Like nobody gets there overnight. And if they do, they've probably done a shit ton of work that we're not seeing to get them there, right? And the more I hear successful people, and again, success is, everybody's got a different definition of success. So define what that means for you. And you may be able to shift your perspective and your journey and all sorts of things. But anybody who's like achieved my version of success, right? Like what I perceive to be successful, it's like, none of them did it overnight. There's always a journey. And, you know, it's launch after launch after launch. Then finally something hits. And then it's like a learned thing, right? They have to go through the trial and error and all these things. And I think sometimes, you know, on social media and wherever, we're just not seeing that side of things. And we just think, oh, they're an overnight success and I'm not. So I'm never going to get there. And it's just, yeah, I think that like, I think, you know, over the past week, all of these things that have happened and all of the things I've experienced and all the things I've moved through have really showed me how much my mindset has really shifted. And that I think is the coolest piece, is it's not to say that I'm not frustrated or like, I really noticed today I judged somebody like real hard at work and, but I was able to catch it, be like, ooh, Rochelle, we're not going there. Like the awareness of like how hard I judged somebody and then be like, why did I judge somebody? And then it's probably because I may have said something similar that person did, or, you know, when you're not thinking about something or whatever the situation was, but I was able to sort of like pull back and be like, really have that awareness of how much I judge them. And then to then like forgive myself for that too. And we're all human. There's no perfect human out there. We all have flaws because we are human. And so just to have that sort of mindset shift and see how much more I'm able to do that in my daily life and to approach things with so much more calm and ease and flow is a beautiful thing. And again, it's not to say that I don't feel frustrated or any of the human emotions, because I still intensely feel them, but I just feel like so much of my journey is it was all for this, right? It was all to get me here. And now I'm feeling the momentum and that's what it was all for, right? So anyway, I could go on and I'm sure I'm going to get off here and be like, oh, I wanted to talk about this, but I'll just do more deeper reflections and get back to you next week on a solo episode. Maybe I'll just do a solo episode all about it. I don't know what the solo episode is going to be about. Maybe human design. But this episode is phenomenal. Juliet Carmon, again, everything is down in the show notes. If you are interested in Holistic Human Design Academy, the next round is going to be end of August. So get your name on the wait list. It is so amazing, literally lighting me up, and the feedback, these magical humans are just so, so beautiful and amazing. Yeah. And all the things. You can still do one-on-one human design sessions, or the 3-month coaching container is also available. So you can get all that information down in the show notes. Follow me on Instagram at rochelle.christian. And that's rochelle.christiane. TikTok is the same. YouTube at Emotional Mastery Podcast. Website is rochellechristian.com. And yeah, share with a friend if this resonates with you. Review, rate, review, subscribe, all those things on Spotify. Literally, it's just 5 stars. You could just click that or whatever star rating you believe I deserve. But 5 stars would be so appreciated. You literally just click it and that's it. Enjoy the episode and I will catch you next week. Welcome, Juliet, to the Emotional Mastery Podcast. I'm really excited to have you here and to have this conversation today. And I am just going to hand you the floor for you to introduce yourself, your story, just kind of any defining moments along the way that got you to where you're at today.
Thank you so much for having me. Well, my name is Juliet Caraman. I'm a relationship and intimacy coach. Deal with basically the most intimate relationship that you have with anyone, which is yourself, and all the trauma and struggles and ups and downs that come with that. So I'm a mom of four kids. My kiddies are in their early teens. And I was very much a stay-at-home mom until two of my kids were became diagnosed with dyslexia, and I went deep into psychology and tried to help them. And that's actually where my whole path started. One thing led to another. I was in a lovely marriage, but wasn't very fulfilled. So left my marriage and then didn't realize I was overgiving, went straight into another marriage or another relationship, not marriage. Seven children, seven different schools. It's like running an army. It's like running an army, looking after everyone else, not looking after myself. So I spent 9 months in hospital. And it was only after that relationship ended that I really found the time to heal myself, to get back to who I am, and to notice that there was so much emotional charge that I was actually carrying that my body couldn't quite process. Went through a lot of trauma recovery, and now I'm helping others with that.
I love that. It's so funny with kids. I have a 12-year-old and not a 6-year-old, but that age, and there's such like mirrors for us, right? It's like, I think it's one of the most spiritual things you can do is like be a mom and have to face that every single day, because they really like bring that out in you. It's really it's a trip.
And it's so interesting, right? Because the more that you go and you learn about this stuff, and you're like, ooh, I messed up my kids pretty good here. Maybe I should make a little piggy bank for the therapist or for the coach later on.
Right.
And at the same time, that's where you can also take really radical responsibility. And this is what I have with my, you know, I have twins of 21-year-olds and then I have two boys, 23 and 24. So we're super close. And I actually just say, hey, you know, I effed up a bit, you know, it's like, I didn't really know how to be a mom. I did the best that I could. And now I look back at it and I'm like, ooh, okay, those were some harsh lessons we had to learn. And they actually really appreciate it when you say, hey, you know, I didn't know everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It like humanizes us. Cause I think, you know, you so often see your parents as just like knowing everything, I think it's so powerful to be doing this work. Cause like with my kids, if I get frustrated, at least I can always go back now and be like, listen, this is why. I apologize for reacting in that way, but can we work on this?
Completely. Beautiful thing. And that's it, right? Because I remember going hiding in the bathroom. I had four kids in under 3 years' time. So I mean, crazy, crazy time, right? Mm-hmm. Hiding in the bathroom just to breathe and just like, because my heartbeat really, there was so much attention that was needed on me. And I see where other mothers have this as well. And now I see this in my clients. I'm like, oh, your nervous system is a little bit out of whack, and people didn't know about this, you know, 20 years ago yet. We didn't know as much as we know now and how everything actually affects us. So it's a constant learning curve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I was really excited to have this conversation for a few different reasons, but this year I've been saying it like for the last like few months, this year for me has been like the year of the body, right? Like really getting in touch with my body and listening to my body and responding from that space instead of my mind. And, you know, of course, like sexuality and relationships are just, it's so interesting because we hold so much shame around a lot of it, you know, and I think it's really important to have those conversations and really like distill that and kind of be able to take a step towards releasing it, because it's like underlying like everything, you know? And so, So for you, like when you're working, so you work with like high achieving women, right? And so like where in their journey are they coming to you? Like, what is kind of the point where it's like, you know, I know for you, you said it was like, you kind of ended up in the hospital because you were so like stressed and unable to like give to yourself instead of you're giving to everyone else, you know? So at what point do they typically come to you, and like, where are they in their journey?
I've had everything along the way because I've grown as well, right? So I've had people that just couldn't attract the right partner. I've had people, I've had couples that are very successful but aren't intimate with each other. And I'm not even talking about physical intimacy, but they're just the whole intimacy. They're like even looking anything into each other and understanding what they're about. It's like not even friends, but they're like frenemies living together. But really what I notice is that usually the kids are a little bit more grown up, or they're you know, 40 plus, you know, they're getting to a point where it's like, oh, we want more out of life. We've had an incredible career. We've done the kids. We bought the house. We've achieved, we've ticked all the boxes. And now it actually feels a little bit empty, and it feels like there's something else out there, and they're yearning for something else, and they're not quite sure how to get it. I work with a lot of women who have had massive body issues. I mean, I was twice the size I am now. So I know all about gaining weight, and also knowing that often that there is an underlying trauma, often sexual trauma. It doesn't always have to be. But it's like, you know, we eat to protect ourselves, and our subconscious always has a good intention to have us feel safe, to not have that kind of attention on us again. And what I mean of trauma is anything that happened too fast for our psyche or our body to process. So which means everyone's had some kind of you know, intense experience where they're like, whoa, you know, and it all depends how you respond to it. If, yeah, and how you can get rid of that emotional charge and then, you know, come away from that. And it's like, oh, I can feel again, because so many people, we live in a culture where people numb themselves. And hey, you know, me included. And I still numb myself from time to time. But I'm like, but I'm really conscious of it. It's like, oh, I've watched Netflix for like a month. I've watched three episodes today. I'm like, oh, okay. But really, it's that becoming aware of things.
That's interesting. I resonate so much. I gave up alcohol about 3 months ago, right? And when I did it with the intention of just trying to stop having a tool to numb myself. But then now it's like, I'll scroll on Instagram, you know, like we're always replacing it with something, right? So there's, but again, like you said, it's that awareness thing where I think it's like going into it, knowing what you're doing, you know, and like right before I gave up alcohol, it was like, I would have the glass of wine and I was like, I know why I'm doing this, you know, like I'm intentionally going in to numb. Like I know that I'm doing that, but you know, sometimes we just need it. So
and that's it. It's not beating yourself up about it, because I mean, we are our worst enemies, aren't we? And I keep saying that to clients. I'm like, would you be friends with anyone who treats you the way that you treat yourself?
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. They're like, yeah, no, not very nice. And how we speak to ourselves really does make a difference.
Yeah.
Our subconscious, we pick that up. And if we speak to ourselves, like I have my partner, and then he'll just, he'll be angry at himself. Oh my God, I'm such a tosser. And I look at him, I'm like, what are you saying? I'm like, really? It's like, oh, that was just so stupid. I'm like, hey, you know, you're going to keep calling in more of that instead of just saying, oops, okay. Oopsala, didn't do so well there. Let's try it again.
Yeah. I really notice when people say that too. I hear it. Like, they'll be like, oh, I'm so stupid. And I'm like, no, you're not. Let's not do that. But I also think too, I'm like, when I have like negative self-talk to myself, I'm like, would I say that to my 12-year-old daughter? You know what I mean? Cause like, that's the part of me is that child that's really saying that to herself. And so that's kind of like my reframe. And I'm just trying to like pick out the positivity in it and just be like, no, we're learning, we're growing. I'm accepting like healing or something, you know, to kind of shift that piece. You mentioned the subconscious, and I'm curious, you know, working with like high achievers, people who have gained success, but yet still have like, whether it's body issues or trauma and things like that, just from like a manifestation perspective, I would be curious, because if you've, you know, I mean, if you've achieved like a certain amount of success, you are, you know, able to manifest certain things. And, you know, I see it as, you know, like love and money and all these things are like intertwined when it comes to that. So what do you believe is the subconscious block to be able to achieve one thing and not the other?
It's interesting, right? Well, it's always, our subconscious always keeps us safe somewhere. So we can achieve a lot of things, and then there are still little blocks there. And that's, I'm a hypnotherapist as well. You probably understood. So I kind of like combine all kinds of different modalities and, mm-hmm. and use whatever I need to use in my coaching and in my groups. But the funny thing is, like, we can't be good at everything, right? And we all have our little blocks. And that's where it just becomes like, okay, well, let's put some awareness on that and let's help you with that. Let's see how we can, because that's it. Awareness is your first step towards self-love, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I'm aware that I'm doing this. Like you were talking about the alcohol. It's like, oh, I'm aware I'm doing this. It's like, I had some snacks here the earlier on and I was like munching away. I'm like, oh, okay. It's like, probably would have been better to have lunch instead of having a cold snack. But that's the same thing with high achievers. They're really high achievers, like say in their business, they're making a lot of money. And yet, because they're so focused on their business, often they don't have time for either their diet or their personal life or their social life. There are things that, you know, that crack, there are cracks that mm-hmm. form.
Yeah. Yeah. I work with somebody who is, you know, career and money and all that stuff, like is thriving, but yet it's the health piece, you know, and I think mm-hmm. about it, that relation is like, if you can connect with your body, right. And if you can connect with your intuition, how much further would that propel you in that area of your life that you're already succeeding in, you know, but just, it would just push you the extra step to like move it up. Mm-hmm. It's really, really fascinating.
And that's what I find really important. It's like I use the five Fs, you know, like mm-hmm. the finances, physical health. Well, it's not quite an F, but
the sound, could
be, you know, like friends, family. Mm-hmm. Just kind of see where are you? What are you scoring at? If you give yourself a 1 to 10, it's like, how are you doing well with your friends? How well are you doing with your family? What are your finances like? What's your health like? What's your faith? What's your mm-hmm. spirituality? It doesn't have to be religion, but, you know, what do you believe about yourself? And then that is how we actually see it. It's like, oh, okay, there are a few gaps there. So let's put some more attention on that.
Mm-hmm. And how do you help guide people into their bodies when they've just avoided it for so long?
It's a challenging one mm-hmm. because often we live here, right? We mm-hmm. live in our heads. So I do quite a bit of somatic exercises with them and really get them to start feeling again. At first, that's terrifying. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, I've tried everything not to feel, you know, very intellectual. So meditation, guided processes. And sometimes it's like, it's little dips in, little dips out, you know, let them first find one place which is safe in their body. A lot of people kind of live very disembodied because they're highly energetic or they've had a traumatic experience and they just don't find safety in their body. So trying to find one safe spot and from there titrating it to another place. Mm-hmm. And that can take a bit of time sometimes. And sometimes it's really quick, but it's actually with curiosity. And what we do is we co-regulate someone else's nervous system as well. And just awareness, co-regulation, mirroring back to them, being asking open-ended questions. You know what it's like. Mm-hmm. But really just taking the time, because oftentimes they haven't had that. They haven't had that model to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Making them feel safe in that experience with, mm-hmm. you know, like with your holding the space for them. It's really powerful. Yeah. I mean, I've been meditating for like over 5 years and there are still days where like I find myself resisting it. I'm like, don't want to go there today. Like, do I have to?
God, I had one like last night. I woke up at 2 o'clock and I'm like, come on, just put your thing on, put your meditation on. I was like, no, I went on Facebook and on Instagram and at 3:30. It was like, it's like a smack across the face.
Yeah.
Either you're going to stay up and meditate and do what you know feels good,
yeah,
or, you know, or just lie there and toss and turn. So I was like, okay, I'm doing it. And then of course, after that, I was like, zen and fell asleep and was good, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Isn't that the thing though? Like we know, right? Like we intuitively know, but yet there's something in there. Like I usually go to bed to a yoga nidra. And when I don't, it's like, there's something in me that's like, just same thing, like turn it on and you know, you're going to fall asleep in like 15 minutes. And like, sometimes I don't. And I'm literally tossing and turning for like 30, 45 minutes. And I'm like, this is not.
And that's it. I've kind of like conditioned myself to wake up at around 5 o'clock, and that's when I do my meditation. 4 or 5 o'clock, pineal gland is very open. And then we traveled to Vienna last week and then this week as well. And everything just kind of went astray. My partner got ill. I was taking care of him, didn't want to move too much. And then now I was like waking up at 5. I'm like, oh, I don't feel like it. I mean, just kind of, you know, but you know, but that's, we're human, right?
Yeah.
We fall off. We climb back on. It's perfect.
Yeah. And I think that's a huge piece to it, is like just having understanding, compassion. That I tell myself that all the time. I'm like, Rochelle, you're human. Like, you are not going to be this perfected form of a being just because you want to be. It doesn't work that way. That's
it. How can we keep our heart open for ourselves? Not just for the rest of people, but for ourselves. And just like, perfect. Yeah. So it didn't work out today. There were still some good things today.
Mm-hmm. And so how do you start those practices of giving yourself that self-care without feeling, you know, especially like, you know, 7 kids and just like high achievers and things like that. We're just so used to like giving. Like, how do we give to ourselves?
You know what? What I tell my clients, the first thing to do is put a timer on 3 times a day for 90 seconds. Everyone's got 90 seconds, 3 times a day. You know, we're talking less than 6 minutes. You know, we're actually doing pretty well here. So, and then to check in with your body, do a body scan, notice, take a breath in through your nose, out through your mouth, and just slow down enough to do a body check and notice, where are you feeling? What temperature are you feeling? Where? Focus on one part of your body where it feels relatively safe. What's the temperature like? What's the texture like? What's the size? Is it big? Is it small? Really just focus in on that. And then sit with that for a minute, feel it, really allow yourself to feel it. And then what thought's coming up? Is there a thought? Okay, let me think that thought. What's the emotion that comes up with that thought? There might be an image. You can actually break it down into image, thought, body sensation, and emotion. And once that's all the matter, that's all the four elements that make up an experience. So if we really dial it down, that's it. And after 90 seconds, whatever thoughts you might have had will turn into less destructive ones, less negative ones. And then you're like, oh, okay, that's it. Or you become content free. And it's just like, oh, I'm actually present with what's happening to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed like, so as you're speaking, I recently started like kind of getting in just on like a reading basis. I'm not like studying, or I have like no gurus or anything like that, but like in Tantra. And I saw that you also have studied, worked with Tantra. And I feel like it's a lot of, it is like embracing that duality, right? I feel like from my understanding of what I've read so far, Tantra is very much like one specific book. It's very like talks a lot about death. It's kind of like facing that. Cause once you can release the fear of death, right, then it's like, what is there to like hold on to, you know? And so when I feel like my own anxiety come up, which like sometimes happens in social situations, and sometimes, you know, I think also in those situations, I'm picking up the energy of the space, right? And other people's anxieties and things like that. Yeah. And instead of being like, no, don't think that, you can't think that. And then it just like keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, right? It's just like seeing it for what it is. It's like, okay, do I like this thought? No. Do I like this feeling? No, but it's happening. So, you know, and just witnessing it.
To move through these things, that's why you actually duplicate things, right? Mm-hmm. Because to move through things, through an experience, you duplicate the feelings, you allow yourself to feel it, to see it, to hear it. And then it's like, oh, okay, perfect. And then you know, you remove that layer of charge, because that's what it is. We have like, oh, we don't like this. But if you experience it, it's like, oh, the charge just kind of drops away. And then you just become present with what is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had the last 5 years have been, grief has been one of my major things, right? So my sister passed away 5 years ago, and I doula'd her until the end. Then my father, a year later, and half a year later, my mother committed euthanasia. So I had to jump through lots of hoops to help her as well. So like you said, the duality of life, but actually to realize that I'm not afraid of death anymore. Yeah. Yes, there would be some things that I'd like to get in order for my kids and everything before I go. But it's like the actual fear of dying being so intimate with what happened and how I prepared them to pass over. It was just beautiful. It was probably one of the most beautiful things in my life to be there for them, mm-hmm. to actually be that present for three of my family members. That definitely expanded me as a person. And which is, Tantra is also, it's all about life and death and, you know, what we are.
Yeah. 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 I can imagine that would be freeing just in the sense of not having that fear anymore, you know, and then, and witnessing that mm-hmm. duality of life and death and emotions. You know, I can imagine that grief is it's a very deep place to be, you know, oh. and it's something that I think we so much avoid. Again, there's so many conversations that I just think a lot of people don't want to touch because it brings it up, right? Because then if you're holding space for somebody or you're in conversation with somebody about it, then it brings death up right to your face too.
It does. But it's been a really beautiful time to also tell my clients and all these people I'm working with and my partner, my kids, everyone that's been very close to me has just said, oh my God, the way that you just deal with it, because I'll be in the middle of a course and then I'll feel like the grief come on. I'm like, whoa, just a little warner. And just disclaimer, my eyes might start crying. I'll have snot flying everywhere, but I'm okay. You know, you don't need to caretake me. I'm going through a massive pocket of grief. And then I'll actually show people what happens to my body, that maybe part of it starts shaking. I need some attention. You can put some breath work in there, maybe hold it. And then they see, it's like, oh my God, you've taught me so much that you can actually hold all these emotions and the stuff that's happening in your body while at the same time being present of everyone mm-hmm. else. And it only takes, yeah, it doesn't take that long.
Yeah. That's beautiful because I think we just don't have an example of what it is to experience our emotions, you know? And I think as the new generations, like they're getting a little bit better at it because we're doing the work. And so our kids are seeing that. But I mean, I know growing up, I was always, the thing was, you're fine. You're fine. Why are you crying? You're fine. And so I noticed that, like, when I get emotional, there is a piece of my mind that's like, Rochelle, you're fine. And then I'm like, no, I can feel this. It's safe.
It's true, right? And then also, I live in the UK, so everyone mm-hmm. has a stiff upper lip. No, you know, we don't talk about emotions here. Mm-hmm. You're what? mm-hmm. And they're very kind of like shocked and like, no. Yeah. And that's the whole thing. It's like, well, you know, women talk about emotion maybe a bit more than men, although lately I've seen where, yeah, I've been holding a few men's groups where they absolutely love to be able to open up to each other and also to be in a space where we can be acknowledged, where we're not going to be ridiculed, but where whatever is coming up is accepted.
Yeah. I love that. I think, I think women get a lot of attention now just in the sense of like empowering us, and it's needed. Right. But I do believe like men's feminine side also needs a lot of caring. Cause it's like, if we are bringing forward this generation of empowered women, we also need men to tap into their feminine to be able to hold the space for it too. And I think mm-hmm. they don't have as much of an outlet, right? Cause men are just supposed to be strong. You do not cry. You do not do this. You know, you have to act a certain way and you provide. And it's like, what, you know, why can't they also express?
It's because, crazy, right? It's crazy how we've pulled those things apart and how so many teachings say, okay, the masculine is the male. I'm like, we have it. There's both that duality in both of us. And it just kind of shows where he might be more expressive or he might be more in tune with the environment, or like you were saying, the energy, you can feel that. Those are all feminine qualities, mm-hmm. right? And then the masculine is more, a bit more structure. It's like we all need this, both of it mm-hmm. in our lives.
Yeah. And how does that duality, that masculine and feminine, and not necessarily from a gender perspective, right? How does that show up when you're working with couples or when you're working people when it comes to sexuality?
Mm-hmm. And that's actually a really, really interesting one because, so I'm in a relationship, my partner is Dom and I'm Dom. So people are like, how does that work? There, you know, you need polarity to have that attraction. And it's like, we can both actually switch into that and like, you know, see who can be in more dominant and who can be in a more receptive role. And that's the beauty with sexuality and with centrality, where often people aren't even aware of this, of what their energy is. So oftentimes, especially the high-flying women that have high jobs and are in corporate stuff, it's like when they come home or when they're with their partner, they continue to be like that on. Mm-hmm. And that creates like, then there's no, you know, there's no attraction there. So it's, you know, like, okay, leave that at the door. And now let's see how you guys can actually connect. Mm-hmm. Let's do some breathing together. Let's do some communication exercises so that you really can build that intimacy, that connection. And only then can you start talking about physical connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. I experimented with somebody who was more like that dom,
archetype.
Yes. Yes. And I found myself, because like in past relationships, I was always like the submissive, right? Like that was just like the role. But one of those specifically was an abusive relationship. And so with this one, I was coming to it from like a more healed lens, right? And being like, knowing I'm safe. And every time there was like a command, I was like, don't tell me what to do. Where I was like, I don't know that I like this role. Like let's switch it up a little bit. So it's really interesting. And a beautiful way to heal in being able to see that and be like, why am I feeling this way? Like, you're telling me what to do. That used to excite me. And now I'm like, no, like you do, you know what I mean? So it was really interesting. And I think that's, it's a very cool play with that energy to be able to figure out what does feel good and what you enjoy.
It's really beautiful. I mean, it's how I healed massive sexual abuse. And I only remembered it. I'd buried it in my psyche for over 20 years. I only remember it because I got flogged. And all of a sudden, all the sensations, my body just went remembered. And it was like, tick, 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 tick. I could see things that happened. I was like, whoa. Mm. So I had the consciousness. I'm like, oh, I need to duplicate this. I need to reenact that scene. So I found a dom when I was back in the UK, and we reenacted the scene and you know, obviously a different outcome. Mm-hmm. And it was just so empowering, where it's like, oh, you can actually change it. You don't have to get stuck in that fear. You know, your psyche protects you. So it didn't remember it. But when it did, I was like, whoa, blew me away. And also realized, it's like, oh, this is why I might have not connected with my husband or which I did. But, you know, just it kind of gives you some awareness of some pieces of your life. You're like, oh, yeah, got it.
Yeah.
So it can take people to massive heights where there's a lot of healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that like gives me chills, because what a beautiful healing, right? To be able to like consciously do it from that perspective and that lens. Do your sessions typically go to that space? Like, is sexuality like a big piece to how you just work with people, or is it just on an individual basis?
At the moment, not much. Mm-hmm. I do take people through the erotic blueprints. If I see people in person, I will actually do touching as well. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, it's kind of taken a back seat. I used to be a professional dominatrix. So I had people fly in from abroad, but they'd also be very, they'd never be sexual sessions. They would go out to dinner, they'd hand me the wallet and say, you order for me. And they really just wanted, these people are big CEOs. They just want someone else to take care of them. They just want to like give over the control. And it was just so interesting to see that these non-sexual ways of doming someone were just really, you're as a dom, you're the one that is in the position of really taking care of your sub, right? So you're in service to your sub, because you kind of see and you look and you see the body, what it needs. And so often these people from a really high level of corporate come and they just want to not be in control. So those are beautiful. I don't do much of that now anymore. The whole Corona, whole COVID kind of got over that. I love doing one-on-one person in-person events. But mostly it's couples that I work with sexuality.
Mm-hmm. And how was that healing for you? Like, you're nurturing them, right? Because they wanted to give up control. Yeah.
It's funny, right? Because I think, yeah, when you're an empathic person, you like to give anyway. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it can be that kind of like little play, interplay, where as a dom, you know that actually you're not the bitchy one. And it's like, you do this, you don't order people around. Mm-hmm. That's what people have the idea, right? That a dom does. And actually it's like, no, you're in service of what they need, but yet you play them and you play off their edges a little bit. So it's exciting to see how people can get to their edge and how they can open up. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like even like doing a hypnotherapy session with someone, relieving them from their pain, going from a 10 to like a zero in pain. For me afterwards, it's like, it's empowering. It feels great. I've helped someone else. The ripple effect will go on. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not just my life that I'm changing. It's their lives. It's the lives of their partner, their kids, etc. They'll be a better human being in the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And does it, I mean, again, you know, back to duality, I know there's duality in everything. And when you think of that, right, you think of the masculine in that position. Mm-hmm. But as you're speaking about it and describing it, I sense a very feminine energy of like that nurturing and being very gentle with it and fluid sort of in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, yeah, definitely. I think that's where people see it as something really harsh, and it doesn't need to be at all. Mm-hmm. Or I've never gone to the massive masochistic bit. And it's also it's what turns other people on. It's like, mm-hmm. sometimes you just even have psychological kink. You'll mm-hmm. tell them, look down. Did I tell you that you could look up? Good girl. And it's like, oh, some people are like, oh my God, that actually excites me. That turns me on. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I'd have that in me. And that's what it is, right? People think about kink that they have so much shame about it, that if they do like it, or if they like to dress up, or if they like to be spanked, or any psychological or physical play, they're like, oh my God, my partner is going to freak out when they find out. Or if my parents or my children ever find out, they'll just think I'm weird. So there's so much shame associated with any kind of sexuality, but I would say especially around the kink scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it just needs to, you know, like with anything, what we avoid or ignore just gets bigger, you know, and it's like, can we just embrace that? And there's, I feel like there's always going to be somebody safe that we can find, right? I think when you're looking for it, it can be brought to you that will allow you to explore that and play with that within yourself. How do you, if you've worked with like couples who have been together, again, let's say they're successful, their kids are grown, and they're just coming to the space of like, maybe they've never had a sexual experience with each other that truly was like fulfilling to them. How do you even like begin to kind of like pull that out and make them feel safe within that space?
It's really cool because I get them to do a little quiz and to kind of see what is their way into pleasure. And for a lot of people, that is really eye-opening. Mm. It's like, oh, I'm actually much more energetic. I can feel energetic stuff. And like, I like very soft or like off the body touch, and I can have full orgasms like this. Mm. But I'm with someone that's very sexual, that wants immediately penetration, and the end goal is climax. Where for me, it's like it's all about ethereal and maybe dancing together and like, you know, like feeling each other from different sides of the room. So once you start doing this, all the shame just drops away. And also realizing that you may be in different phases of your life, you know, you might have been in the menopause or just had a baby or whatever, have some physical ailments so that you're resting. And your partner might be in a much more adventurous stage. He's like, they're like, whoa, let's try this. And you're like, yeah, my body's a no. But it all boils down to communication, right? And that's often what's happened. Their communication has completely shut down. They don't know what they like. So it's really starting to explore, what do you like? But before you know what you like, it's how do you feel safe in your body? So giving them the baseline of safety, and then really going, it's like, oh, what's this? Like, start with curiosity after that. Baseline, I'm happy, I'm safe here. Let's try this. And instead of saying, you always do this wrong, you never, it's like, oh, could you go to the left maybe a little bit? Could we try a softer touch? Could you just rub my hair behind my ear. It's like, oh, I like that. Could you blow some air on my neck? And really start looking at it with curiosity and having that feedback loop. It's like, oh, today I like this, but tomorrow I don't. Which is because we're changing all the time. Mm-hmm. And everyone would love a set of like, okay, I do this. I touch her earlobe and then I kiss her on her cheek. And then, you know, I grab her bottom and then we're in like a big dog. But it doesn't quite work like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we all have different needs. And yeah, I've definitely experienced that person that's been very like, sex is like, it's like a business, right? It's like, we do this and then we do this and then we do this. And I'm like, you know.
And that's it. I mean, most of what I teach people is to slow down. I said, slow it down to about half and then slow it down again. And they're like, but what do you mean? I said, when you go really fast, we're in this culture where everything is fast, harder, bigger, quicker. You numb the sensation, right? And if we take all of that away, can we just be present with like the most feather light sensation? You know, what's at the bottom of your finger? Can you feel that buzzing when you're touching, say, their hand? Can you feel the connection and really start building from that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think even as a woman, like self-pleasure slowing down, because it's sort of like get to the end of the night and now I just want to release and like go to bed, you know? And I find myself guilty of that sometimes too, but then it's like really slowing down and intentionally like getting to know your body, you know, like truly, because then that helps you in partnership too. Cause be like, oh, this is how I like it, you know?
And that's it. That's my homework. Always like I had this couple, hadn't had sex for 23 years. So I just said, okay, sex is off the table. We're taking it off the table completely. Both of you start doing some breath work and start self-pleasuring. And you know, it can just be start with your hand. You know, I'd always start without the genitals and really just get them to explore what they like, how to bring breath to it, how to bring presence to it. And self-pleasure could also just be like running yourself a bath, you know, and just being present with what your body needs. It doesn't always need to involve genitals and climax. It doesn't need to.
Yeah. And then how do you work with like, if the, you know, so like say for a couple who hasn't had sex in that, you know, amount of time, like if there's some sort of like body shame or like trauma attached to that, you know, and how does that like unfold or, you know, if they are unaware of it?
Well, that will show up pretty quickly often. So I get them to start doing some dyad exercises to really like reconnect again. Like, what is it that you love about me? And then they'll go and then tell me, you know, what do you want more of? What's something that you want me to know about yourself? It's like people that have been married for 30 years are actually rediscovering each other. And then once that happens, you know, there's so much oxytocin, so many chemicals are like, oh, wow, this is all new stuff that I actually didn't know about my partner. And then also things like, what do you want for our relationship? And if you constantly just dig a bit deeper, 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 that's when, you know, you can start bringing in the body. It's like, okay, let's do a body mapping session. You know, I'll do you today, you do me tomorrow. And that actually just try different kinds of touch. And that's often where it will show up when you'll see someone clench. And if you're really aware of that, it's like, oh, I just noticed my body clenched. It tightened. It's like, I don't know what it is, but I just want you to be aware of it. And oftentimes the other partner will see, it's like, hey, what happened there? It's like, I don't know. I clenched. It might be a memory. I had it with my partner when he would come right behind me and stand right behind me, and it just took me straight to my uncle. He used to abuse me, and I could feel that my body tightened. And once you're aware of that, it's like, oh, hey, Alex, I'm super aware that I'm tightening. Don't move, stay there. And let's just, you know, I'm in freeze, and you know, my body is frozen. Can you just stay there? I know that I'm safe. And you go through some exercises just to say, hey, I'm safe, I'm here, I'm okay, I've survived it. And then you can be conscious. It's like, oh, okay, it's past. You know, maybe your jaw starts shaking a little bit. It's past. Can you just stay there and just put your hand there? And that's as far as I can go today. Hmm. And it's little incremental steps like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like you said, that awareness is huge, because I noticed too, when like discomfort comes up, and I really like lean into that now. Like I want to understand where this is coming from and why. So if like something is really, if I get like a, and not in like, I don't know, I'll say it and then I'll try and reframe it. But like, if I get like a, no, I don't want to do that kind of thing, usually I will do it because I want to understand like what the hesitation was, or what the nervous system reaction was to that thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, but you know, within knowing that I'm safe and setting healthy boundaries and things like that. And mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that can be really powerful. And again, just a beautiful way to like heal and have somebody that's safe that can understand what you're experiencing, or at least be there to hold space for your experiences.
Completely. And if we're really honest, so if we're still talking sex, we have been penetrated way before we were ready. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. Yeah, most people have, because it takes about 40, 45 minutes for a female to be aroused and to be lubricated. And we have overridden that for so many times, so many years, perhaps, that the body just kind of gets numb. And when you have someone holding space for you and actually being present with you and having this foreplay and having this stimulation and having just the space to open up, it is kind of like a flower. It's like, whoa, all of this is available for me. It's like, wow, someone is willing to stay with me for all this time without an agenda, without an end in sight, without, you know, having to have, you know, climax or penetration as the end goal, but just kind of like seeing, let's see where this takes us. Let's mm-hmm. set a timer for 30 minutes or 40 minutes for an hour and see where this takes us. And that's how you build resiliency.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that 45 minutes, which like makes so much sense energetically, right? Cause we're usually often don't spend that much time to prepare ourselves.
Not at all. And that's, yeah. And then you have like the tightening of the vulva and mm-hmm. then yeah, and people actually having massive pain during intercourse, and it shouldn't be painful.
Mm-hmm.
It really should not. And you know, if it is, there's so many ways to de-armor and so many other ways of dealing with that. And the thing is to go slowly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my last question for you is, this is the Emotional Mastery Podcast, so I always ask about emotions, and it sounds like you have a very healthy relationship with your emotions. How do you feel like that's evolved like throughout your healing process?
Oh my God. It's funny when, you know, I think when the kids are smaller, my temper would just flare and it's like the wall would have understood by now. You know, and I'm sure there's a few listeners out there that are like, yeah, I get you. Yeah. I get you. But really, that flare up, that just doesn't happen anymore. I did notice the other day I got pissed off at a guy in front of me driving, and I was like, oh, hello. Like, awareness, okay, breathe. And I was like, yeah. But that has definitely evolved. And it's the more work that I've done on myself, the more that I've actually gotten rid of charge, of emotional charge with things, the more that it just becomes like, oh, okay, yeah, I had a bit of sadness come up. I'm letting myself feel it. It's great. And now I've moved through it. And now I'm like, oh, now there's a little bit of joy. I'm like, oh, let me feel that. Oh, now there's some stuff coming up in my body. Let me feel that. It's like, oh, and it just means that I'm much calmer. It's the ripple effect has been my children, my partner, the people that I'm around. They're like, oh my God, you're like so calm. It's like when I come and sit next to you, I feel so good. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to say anything. But it's just much more regulated.
Mm-hmm.
Things don't break as much anymore. Before, yeah. You know, my emotions or not even my emotions, but I think my energy was very quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like touch light switches and things would just blow, etc. So now that's not as combustible.
Yeah. Was there one specific tool that you feel like was really helpful in that, or just a combination of all the tools that you learned along the way?
I think it's definitely a combination, but for me, one of the biggest ones has been, what charge do I feel with that? What am I actually feeling it, naming it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love a good brain dump, automatic writing for like 10 minutes and just get it out there. I'm also an EFT tapper. So I do tap a bit, tap on all the points. And then I just like, get it out. And then afterwards you're like, oh, it's like, you know, like all that contraction's just gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know in astrology what your sun, moon, and rising is by any chance?
Oh, no, I'm not very good at that. I do have it somewhere, but I don't know it by heart.
Okay, that's fine.
And I'm more into human design at the moment.
So. Okay, well, so I love human design. So are you okay with sharing yours?
I'm a Mani Gen. I'm a 6'2".
Okay. 6'2". Okay.
Teacher hermit.
Okay. Emotional or sacral?
Emotional.
Emotional. Okay. I'm an emotional MG2. And it's it's interesting because I was like looking at all of the, you know, like what you do. And so I've always had such a hard time like niching down. I've like, I have so many like gut health, holistic, you know, like attachment theory, human design, astrology, like there's so many different like areas. And so I like, as I was looking through your stuff, I was like, I bet you she's an MG.
That's true. And it's so funny, right? Because for so many years I got so shamed for that. Like, oh, you did. Cause you know, I used to be an interior decorator and then I was a caterer. And then I was like in helping kids, a Senko, you know, special needs kids and then coach. And it's like the one thing that kind of like put everything together is always being in service to something. Right? And it's just like, and once I started learning about human design and gene keys, I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. Yeah. I have to go through things to teach it.
Are you a Virgo?
I am a Taurus.
Taurus.
Borderline Gemini.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. No, I love human design just for, like, for me, it just all those things that I felt like I was resisting in myself, all those areas of conditioning, right? That I was just like, I can't be like this. I can't be like that. For one, knowing that it wasn't mine. And then for two, just being like, oh my gosh, like I'm a 6'3" emotional manifesting generator. So that in itself is like, my life is like pure chaos. You know what I mean? Like that sixth line and the third line, just want to like trial and error and experiment and being able to understand that, you know, now I'm just like, you know, yeah, it was so every like business coach I've worked with is like, you have to niche. And so it's like, okay, well, how can I get you in the door? And then once you're in the door, then you get everything, right? I'm like, I'm just going to like.
Yeah, I just say you don't have to niche to people.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to niche your offers, you know, you can have different courses and different things.
But you can include it all in there.
Yeah. I keep saying, well, what is your niche? I'm like, yeah. Intimacy with yourself. That's so that could be, you know, weight loss. That could be anything.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Well, thank you so much for having this conversation and sharing everything, you know, with the audience and listeners, and let them know how they can work with you if there's anything you're working on or any last pieces that you would like to share.
Yeah, I'm doing, I did a masterclass on scrumptious communication. I thought I could actually do that in 2 days. Third day with a bonus and the feedback. Yeah, that was humble pie eating. The feedback was like, can you actually make a course on that? So that's what I'll be doing in January, running a course, scrumptious communication, because actually everything in life is a communication. How we say things, how we don't say things, what we're interacting with outside, nature, our children, everything, how we hold ourselves, everything is a communication. So it's just all about coming home to ourselves. So that's probably going to be my life's work, if I'm actually honest about it. So yeah, little masterclass didn't quite do it. People can find me on my website, feelfullyyou.com. I'm on Instagram as Juliette Caraman, French spelling, double T-E, same in Facebook. And yeah, I have loads of courses. I'm starting a hypnotherapy pain course as well. So January, there'll be lots of new things.
Sounds good. And I will have everything in the show notes for everyone listening, just to go click and follow you. And
yeah, and there's a podcast as well. So yeah.
Beautiful. I love it. Well, thank you so much for sharing your energy, your story, and all of your wisdom with me and with the audience as well.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Of course.